Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the 22nd recording on the secret of the love of God, where we'll be doing a little bit of catch up with the writing. We're going to be starting on page 182 with the chapter, You Shall Not See Me, But Look at the Mountain. For the next few sections, there's some shorter chapters, and we'll see how far we get to in this recording, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, rahmanir rahim, maliki yawmiddin, إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. You shall not see me, but look at the mountain, page 182. Know, my beloved, that you shall not see me as an existent thing abstracted from the universe that can be seen by physical eyes. But look at the mountain or towards your body, your innate inner nature by which you are actually formed. Within this innate nature, physical eyes can see me and physical senses can sense me. If you're witnessing a steadfast, which is my universe through which I descend and through which my image manifests, you will see me if you see yourself. When his Lord revealed himself in an epiphany to the mountain, he made the mountain into dust, for he was witnessed as manifest and worshipped. The Gnostic is then awakened from the sleeping state of ordinary people who see other than their Lord, the real, and what they see is no more than senseless dreams or castles in the air. The Gnostic says, glory belongs to you, transcendent beyond illusion and beyond otherness. I repent and return to witness you and no other. And I am the first of the Muslimin. You are the believer, the real, the first, the last, the manifest, the hidden. So understand. Know, O one whose search is Allah, that Musa alayhi salam, in that intimate conversation, the munajah, between himself and his Lord, asked his Lord to show himself to him. The Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, answered him, you will not see me. This is because Musa, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, asking his Lord this meant that he still had a physical existence with its physical sense of seeing. His Lord then said, you will not see me as abstracted from a universe that is seen by the physical sense of seeing. What is meant here is to draw the attention of the seekers to an important matter which provides the opening of a real door to reach Allah. Similarly, he opens a door for us in his dialogue with the righteous servant Al-Khidr, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Musa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked for the vision that was outside his physical presence by which he asked his Lord, the Lord said, you will not see me abstracted from your universe as in your body, by which you asked me, but rather look at your innate nature, metaphorically mentioned as the mountain. His Lord drew his attention and commanded him to look inside his innate nature, and so he attained gnosis by direct divine experience, as in tasting. Adhok lillahi. He then realized that it was impossible to see his Lord outside of his existence or separated from his existence, from which he made the request to see him. By the divine attention, Musa comprehended the matter by looking at the mountain of his innate nature, and the meaning of his Lord's speech fell into his consciousness, which meant, I am established through the appearance of your universe, and I recognized by the Gnostics. They cannot see me or know me except by the appearance of their universe, and within this appearance, the physical sight sees me and the physical senses sense me. If the mountain of your innate nature settles in its place, you'll see me by the witnessing my appearance through the picture of your universe, because it's my universe by which I descend and my image through which I appear. If you witness this, you will see me in reality and there will be no blurring in your vision. For if you see yourself, you'll see me. When his Lord revealed himself in an epiphany to the mountain, he made it dust, and the mountain of Musa's universe was destroyed by the manifestation of the universe of Musa's Lord as the vessel in which he witnessed his Lord, and the mountain's picture became his worshipped Lord's image. When Musa awakened, meaning that he was resurrected in the image of his Lord, the real, he awoke from his sleeping state. People are asleep because they witness their individual egoistic selves rather than their Lord, the real. Their seeing themselves is tantamount to being in the dream state. And in dreams, you see that which has no reality and which is non-existent. The picture of your illusion prevents you from seeing the truth. Let it be known that everything in the lower world is asleep and does not wake up except by divine resurrection. Before the resurrection, people see only pictures like that in the dream state. The cause of the full resurrection is to awaken to your original fitra, your original disposition. Otherwise, one is resurrected in a picture conformant with the measure of the pictures of one's dreams, falling in anxiety and in fear, and his nightmares become more intense. But those who are resurrected into the form, the original form, are recreated anew in the existing world, which is the final abode, the akhirah for them. And in this final abode, there is no more sleep or slumber, and they do not see any senseless dreams. When resurrected in this way, the universe of the Gnostics' Lord appears in the original picture in which he was resurrected. Thus he sees himself as the essence of his Lord, and so all distance and dimensions disappear, and the narrow passages of distress and darkness are erased from his world, and the clarifying light reveals itself to him in an epiphany, in the very image in which he becomes present. Let it be known that resurrection is the manifestation of the wise spirit, the real and the clarifying light. And whoever accompanies the wise spirit, even though it may be through visualizing him at first and becoming sincere in accompanying him, the wise spirit will be revealed within the picture through which the Lord manifests his image and through the universe by which the Lord descends, for it is his universe. The wise spirit resurrects the Gnostic into a suitable image of his noble manifestation, but a human looking at his picture forgets the image of his great Lord, so understand. When Musa sallallahu alayhi salam awakened after the divine epiphany annihilated the illusory existence and saw the image of the universe of the real, he knew himself by the real. He became the real by the tongue of the divine epiphany. Glory belongs to Allah who frees his universe, his image, and himself from otherness and from the illusionary pictures that result from the diversity of the outward appearances. O Allah, there is no other than your essence designated in every appearance, and there is no other than your image manifested, the affecting and the originating within every appearance. Your existence is what necessitates the existence of every appearance, and it is the present in every appearance. Glory belongs to you beyond what may be thought, that these appearances are for another than you, in which that other has an epiphany. Oh, please, if I had returned to witness you and no otherness, it is by your own witnessing that I returned. And it is your vision which is my vision, by which I witnessed you, by which I repent to you, and I am the first of the believers. And so, it is you who is the believer, the real, the first, the last, the manifest, the hidden. So, understand. Know, my beloved, that there is nothing that issues from you that is not returning to you, and there is nothing coming to you that is not from you. All are the epiphanies of your existence in your special witnessing state, through your rank in ontological existence. You shall be that which you judge, so understand. Know that the chief principle of existence and its origin is my master and protector. Know, O one in search of Allah, that the divine verdict and the decree, the al-qada wal-qadar, are not but in accordance with your readiness and your vessel. Because the readiness of your vessel is the source of the epiphanies for you, know that there is nothing that issues from you, but that it will return to you and manifest to no other but you. Nothing manifests except from the readiness of your vessel. Similarly, nothing comes to you except that which issues from you. Even though you sometimes think that this matter is separate from you, it's not. Even though it's established by the pictures, and you are in illusion thinking it is other than Allah. The truth is that nothing issues from you that does not return to you. And if you realize this, you will know that your designated rank in the ontological order is what demands these particular decrees in accordance with the characteristics of the rank. So nothing issues from you that does not return to you in the mirror of your ranks. There's nothing but this, because all are the epiphanies of your existence in accordance with what you are witnessing. This existing testimonial, which is the mother of your rank, is what is established in accordance with the rank of the one who brought you into existence. What you see is from you, and what you find is for you, but it is not like this in every station. It's all in accordance with what is within you. You shall be that which you judge. If you judge that one of your ranks in the epiphanies of your existence has otherness, then it is as you judge. These epiphanies will then become foreign to you, and from you its otherness appears to you. And when you judge something in any rank as a manifestation of the real and his essence and as your reality, then it is so for you. Know then how to witness and testify and how to realize the truth and actualize your living in accordance with the truth to attain gnosis. When you know with certainty, yakin, that everything that issues from you returns to you, and everything that comes to you is from you, then you will know the truth of the verse of the Quran, the cause is from yourselves, Quran 3:165, and you shall be that which you judge. Next chapter is, there is no existence except your existence. Know, my beloved, that existence is the essence and the essence is the whole. In reality, there is nothing but Him. So, if you want, witness Him and name Him the Self, the essence, Adat. And if you want, witness Him and name His quality, excuse me, Sifa. But just witness Him, name Him. For you are not in reality witnessing or naming other than Him. And He is your reality. And you are in reality Him, witnessing Himself and naming Himself as He wills. He witnesses Himself as He loves, wills, rules, and chooses. So understand. Know that there is no existence except the divine existence, which is the essence, and the essence is the whole. For the divine presence is whole, from the perspective that there is no essence except His essence, and that there is no meaning except Him. Only He deserves to exist, and in reality there is no other than Him. All the outer appearances are specific designations of the whole essence. All are beings that belong to the divine existence. Know this, and know the identity of your existing being within the divine existence. For your disposition, your fitra, allows you to know yourself because you are His meaning. And by knowing yourself, you can know that you are no more than a specific designation among the specific designations of existence. When you witness this, you can further witness that it is what is specifically designated in existence in each station, in accordance with the level or gradation within which the essence of existence manifests, in accordance with what He decreed in His ontological order. If you want, witness Him, witness the present essence and what manifests to you in the ontological order of existence, and name the witnessed the Self, the essence, Adat. He will then give you the special meaning of you as a being, so you become the Self, the essence, Adat. And the Self, the essence, Adat, has the unifying divinity. Through the unifying divinity, you can manifest in everything you see and witness and find. All of your outer appearances become the ontological levels of your existence. Even though you are the Self, the essence of that, by the unifying divinity, you can then manifest as you will, love, want, judge, and choose in accordance with every station of ontological existence. Your revelation into the world becomes the presence of the Self, the essence of that, giving through the epiphanies of the Self, the essence of that, the meaning of being a Self. The meaning of the being of the Self, the essence of that, is that such beings are the particular designated vessels of her vision for the world. You are the particular designated vessel of her vision, and you are the meaning, and nothing other than this manifests. If you witness the existence under the rule of being the Self, the essence, Adat, and you want to name Him by a quality within a particular site, then name Him by that quality, for He will be the one who gives you the quality of being the Self, the essence, Adat, as He is the manifestation of yourself's particular vision, which attributes to Him the quality in which you witness Him. Witness Him as you will, for He is the existence of the particular vessel that has His meaning within. He is the whole, and in reality there's nothing but Him. He is your essence, O one who is the vessel of His vision. Name Him as you want from the names that manifest in the levels, the outer appearances and stations. You are not witnessing other than Him. And He is the one witnessed. He is your reality, which is the divine, which is the manifestation of your being as a particular vessel of His vision, by which His divine presence is envisioned by the eyes that witness Him, leaving no room for witnessing other than him. She lent him an eye by which he saw her, so the one who was looking at her became her vision. My beloved, if you have understood that there is nothing except Allah in everything you witness and name, and that He is your reality, and that you are Him in actuality and not in illusion, suspicion, or fantasy, then you should know that it is He who is witnessing Himself and naming that self, the essence of that within you, and within all of His ontological order. All of the ontological order of beings belong to the divine existence and are not established except by His vision and essence. He is the eternal living and the initiator and the chief principle by which the ontological order and outer appearances exist. He names these beings as He wants in accordance with His will. As He loves, the epiphanies of His love become, and as He wills, He is established within the existence of His universe. As the salt, it is as His will decrees and His love demands, and as His judgment rules, and this is the epiphany of the names. Whatever He chooses becomes the initial states, the stages of development, the meanings, and the courteous manners, adab, by which a particular vessel exists. So, understand. Allah is present and everything else is deprived of existence. Know, my beloved, that existence which is the self, or essence, yadat, demands of Himself to judge, and none can judge but Him. He judges in accordance with rules that He abstracts from Himself to Himself. He then actualizes these rules and He designates His specific vision by these rules in accordance with His essence, and then He manifests these rules within His created beings. But in reality, there's nothing but Him. By His discerning decree, the Qadar, and ruling, Hukm, He makes the creation other than Him in the way He judges it and deals with it. There is speech and expression for each station, and there are men for every station, and the Most Beloved informs us that existence is the essence, and He demands of Himself to judge, and there is nothing but Him. He judges in accordance with rules He abstracts from Himself to Himself, and He actualizes these rules, meaning that He gives it its reality and particularizes His vision by it to Himself. These rules are His existence, but in reality there is nothing but Him. But from the perspective of His discerning ruling and decree that suits the ontological ranks of existence, and because in every rank He reveals Himself in a particular way through His epiphanies, which proves that He is Allah, He only makes it appear as other than Himself in judgment and in dealing. This results in the manifestation of diverse pictures in accordance with the diverse decrees that were discerned by a loving decree that judged that a particular picture should manifest as such. In this way, the ontological ranks with diverse and opposite pictures appear. Life is between establishment and perishing. It comes under the jurisdiction of the five states, even though there's no real existence to it, as we just explained. Its real existence is the existence of its decree and what is demanded by its appearance in the station of the perfect. And from this perspective, there is no distinction between the levels of existence and the levels of non-existence. So understand. There is an appropriate expression for each station of these stations expressed by those who belong to it. And in each rank there are Gnostics who know and realize and witness and walk and ascend to the truth of the matter as it is. Know, my beloved, that the concealed Gnostics who have gnosis of the divine world have no veils and no ontological rank of the diverse ranks, opposite ranks and different ranks that veil them from seeing the truth of the matter and from witnessing the epiphany of the real as long as they witness and realize that there is none but Him in everything manifest or concealed. Allah describes the ontological order as perfect, but it is the real Himself who is the necessary being. And so it's perfect because He qualifies it with perfection and He manifests it in different colors so that it can be qualified by perfection in accordance with His rule, but not in the reality of its contingent being. The people of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, rejoice in the real, and they witness Him in accordance with His will through His epiphanies in different vessels, traces, and spreading qualities and manifested realities. All of these are the decreed worlds in which He manages their excellence and rules, so they do not witness anything except Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, revealing Himself, once by His totality and once by encompassing and inclusiveness. His praiseworthy light rises and manifesting the picture, and then He annihilates it and gives it life again, and then He causes its death. Then He resurrects it, and then causes it to perish, etc. It's like this consecutively, one step after the other. The oceans of divine knowledge, ilm, are full, and the secrets of divine power are suppressive. Some of the secrets are manifest, and some are hidden, and some are first, some are last. The ontological ranks are ruled by the epiphanies and by His real contingent beings, which are the mirrors of the necessary being. When He manifests by it to the Gnostic, the ontological rank perishes, the pictures become non-existent, the secrets are attained, the veils are raised, the earth expands, the sky splits, and the major resurrection is established, and nothing remains in the intellects of those who possess the highest intelligence except Allah by His names and qualities, His rules and His actions. And nothing remains from the manifest and hidden, or from the first and the last, but only Him in His perfect and whole manifestation and His designations and descending epiphanies that form the pictures of the creation. Those who are drowned and consumed in the oneness of the Divine Self, Al-Wahdat Adat Lillahi, are the Self's particular designated essences, manifestations, realities, lights, and secrets. They are the Book of Allah detailed in verses, Surah, marks, ayat, letters and words, all of which speak the truth by the truth, and they are heard by the real, who reveals their epiphanies and initiates them. How beautiful He is, how perfect, how tremendous. And then is no turning or power except by Allah, the sublime, Al-Ali, and the great, Al-Azim. The Divine House, Al-Bayt Lillahi. This lamp is found in houses which Allah has allowed to be raised up, that His name might be remembered in them, Quran 24:36. He modifies His command to permission to cause the believer to feel that it is permitted in his innate nature to love the location of his Lord's house, to glorify the majesty of his Lord. On the other hand, the believer must humble himself and realize that he cannot serve his house directly without his permission. The believer needs his permission, and that is why in the above ayah, he uses the word allowed instead of ordered. Know that Ibrahim, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was described as the father of all the prophets by the praiseworthy law, Ashara al-Muhammadi, or the Muhammadan way. Ibrahim's fatherhood includes every prophet who preceded him or followed him. He is the chosen medium for those who preceded, but he is the real father to those who followed him. He was the real father of the lofty manifestation of the real within the divine existence. This is an allusion to the basic principle that was carried by every prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Ibrahim to build his house. The house has a meaning, for every prophet was directed to that house, which is the first, in order to know that all the houses that are built by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are symbolized by that noble house, and that the houses are also symbols of the house of Allah. Witnessing the lofty state of these houses is by divine permission, for Allah grants permission to any of his worshippers who wishes that these houses be raised to witness the loftiness within them, so he can give them their rights. If Allah grants a worshipful slave this permission, he also permits him to serve in these houses, for Allah prepares him for this great honor by providing him with complete love for the houses and complete sincerity to hold them, to hold by them and be granted salvation by them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala modified the order to permission, for the order was to build the house, but the permission was to enter it. For the one in the house is his Lord, who can permit the raising of these houses to whomever he wills, when he wills, and the houses are not raised except for the lovers of Allah and his loyal friends, the awliya, who give these houses rights and appreciate them as they ought to be appreciated by sincere slavery and service, ubudiya. Whoever is granted this special gift by Allah has been granted its lofty rank through their faithful bondsmanship. Whomever is granted this special gift by Allah is also granted full loftiness, for he is not as lofty until the house is raised for him, and by that loftiness he enters it and becomes lofty in rank and one of the people of the Prophet's household. Al-Bayt. Know, my beloved, that the house of Allah is the first house of worship, built for people, and so it is the leading guide and the praiseworthy inheritor, al-Warith al-Muhammadi. The other houses which are representations of that house and that are honored by their relationship with it are the mosques, the al-Masjids, which are also means the perfect seekers being in complete search for him, al-Muradin al-Kamal, in worship and prayer. In each house there is the spiritual leader, the imam, and there is also worship and prayer as performed in the leading mosque. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that one prayer in the mosque he built with his own hands and inherited is equivalent to 1,000 prayers in other mosques, except the sanctified mosque, which is an allusion to the Messenger of Allah himself, and which is also the house of Allah. So understand. Know, my beloved, that in every noble mosque are seekers, muridun, in search of the perfect human, al-insan al-kamil, who establishes his mosque on the foundation of God-fearing, taqwa, and guidance, huda. His true religion is the focus of his attention, qibla, and he directs himself fully towards witnessing his leader. If the time is now for you, then pray so that you may rejoice. If you pray, then the time will not pass you by, and you will be with the leader of guidance, the Imam al-Huda, who is the leader of your guidance. If you can perform a pilgrimage to the house which is the manifestation of the leader of guidance, then do not wait or be late, but be strong and able to do so. For whoever performs the pilgrimage to the house of Allah, all his sins are forgiven by the overflowing emanation of Allah's mercy upon him. You will fully return to your original nature, your fitrah, and you will exit from the world's womb, as on the day when your mother gave birth to you, pure and sanctified. At that time, none will take care of you, train and discipline you, except your leader who will actualize you. And this is the major pilgrimage, the Al-Hajj al-Akbar, so understand. Know that all the houses that are symbols of that house are houses that Allah has given permission for the remembering and elevation of His name. So remember the name of Allah, O seeker in search of Allah, within these houses, and remember the name of Allah who is the leader of your guidance in order to clearly see the marks of the epiphanies, to witness its sights, to realize and actualize its realities, and to be granted its secrets and lights. Know, my beloved, that those who dwell in these houses are those to whom Allah grants permission to witness Allah and to remember Him within these houses. He grants them the permission to serve it and to be sincere and truthful with it, so that they may be actualized by the loftiness of those who are within these houses. So glorify, exalt Him, and magnify His greatness. Those who do so are the real ones, whom neither buying nor selling distracts them from the remembrance of Allah. Quran 24:37. They do not become forgetful nor unconscious by their trade, for there are no goods left for them to trade, and they do not pay attention to goods. All their concerns have become one concern, and they focus on the leader of their guidance, who is the real. In this way, no trade makes them forgetful or unconscious, as they perform in accordance with the rules of slavery and service, ubudiya, as they are ordered to do so. This is because their egoistic desire has perished, and their lack of high worldly esteem does not distract them from the remembrance, nor is there anything that can prevent them from establishing the prayer. Moreover, the divine inspirations and the lordly gifts do not make them forget the Lord of these gifts and inspirations, nor does it cause them to become unconscious of the master of the epiphanies and their emanations. For they are people devoted to Allah with full sincerity. They sold themselves for His way, and He is more beloved to them than anything. So understand. Know, my beloved, that love and the loftiness of the house of your Lord is in your nature, tabiyah, and your Lord is the leader of your guidance. If your Lord meets you in His house while you are humbling yourself and glorifying Him, seeing yourself as unworthy of serving the house of your Lord, and if you are seeing His majesty and cannot serve His house except by His permission, and if He sees you in this sincere state of poverty, which is your perfection, then Allah will permit you to serve His house. And if you rid yourself of all the shameful acts, characteristics, and shortcomings by acknowledging them, then do not fear seeing any claim of shortcoming within the house of your Lord. If anyone does other than this by seeing the shortcomings, then what an unpleasant settlement and station. This person is cut off from proximity to Allah and does not care in what valley he perishes. So beware, my beloved, of approaching the world of the leader of the guidance and the perfect seekers in search of Him. If you are not pure in your poverty, sincere in your faith, and ready to be recreated, otherwise your actions go to waste and your walkings in vain. If you do not have these qualities, you will be harmed in your religion, your deen, and in your service. Know that there is nothing loftier than perfect courtesy and good manners, adab, and there is not a saying nobler than speaking the truth. If you fully direct yourself toward the house, then perform the rituals of the pilgrimage, al-Hajj. First is the intention, the niyyah. You must have sincere intention. Second, you must forbid yourself of everything other than Allah, ihram. Third, you must respond in conformity with the divine will, the talabiyah, and continue the remaining rites of the pilgrimage and direct your heart fully, speaking by both the tongue of speech and the tongue of state, saying, O Allah, here I am, O Allah, here I am, O Allah, here I am. There is no partner to you. Here I am. May Allah provide for you and us and for all of His beloveds the perfect courtesy and manners, the adab, with Him and with His messenger. Amin. Existence and its affairs. Al-wujud wa shu'una. The truth of the matter is that existence is for the divine self, the essence of that, that demands of itself to rule. There's none but him, so he judges according to rules he takes from himself to himself, and then he actualizes these rules, designates them in specific ways to himself, and in so doing, he distinguishes these designations from himself by himself. He then arranges these designations into his ontological order of being, and he is its essence and its existence, and there is no otherness. Know, my beloved, that the command is the cause and it is the self, the essence of that, by which existence is. The command cannot be a command except by being brought forth into existence. Otherwise, there is only non-existence, and the commanding presence is self, the essence of that. So understand. The command to his contingent beings manifests his presence to the one witnessing, to the knower with direct specific experience, and also to the doer of good. Everything that has existence has a self. But as I am witnessing the truth of the matter, there is only one self, the essence of that is present. He does not multiply, even though his outer appearance may be many. For the many outer appearances do not show multiplicity of the essence of that. The oneness of the essence is constant in spite of her many qualities and outer expressions, affairs, epiphanies, proportionate pictures and rules. All of these are but her actions as expressions of the essence in order to manifest his qualities. This is because he is the self that demands of herself to rule, as it has already been alluded to. The rules that he takes from himself to himself are what he names affairs, and we see them as outer expressions, and yet all the affairs and the outer appearances are his, and whatever is witnessed intuitively is Allah within every affair of his affairs, and in every outer expression of his outer expressions. If not for his manifestation within you and within everything, there would be only nothingness. In order to facilitate witnessing of the real for us, he demands of us to purify the senses, to remove the residue of the hearts, to remove the veils from the essence of the intellect and to purify the self. But this cannot happen except through discipline and training at the hand of a wise educator and skillful trainer. There is not one with these qualities except the spiritual leader of the praiseworthy guidance, the Imam al-Huda al-Muhammadi. This is because he inherited the praiseworthy gnosis and qualities, the al-Warith al-Muhammadi, from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Following the praiseworthy ways, the al-Muhammadan sunnah, leads us to the attainment of what we are seeking, and to knowledge and comprehension, the fiqh of Allah. It enables us to ascend and penetrate the levels of wisdom, the hikmah, and through the epiphany of wisdom, we rid ourselves of the layers of darkness and illusion. Only then will the divine spirit rise luminous within us with the perfect intellect. Then we witness the intellect for what it is in every affair of his affairs and in every outer expression of his outer expressions and in every designated vessel of his particularized vessels. We then value the divine epiphanies and their courteous manners as well as the lordly inspirations and their ethics. Only then do we gain the fulfillment of our religion, the deen, our spiritual debt, by direct attainment of the reality with certainty, yaqeen. Religion is not the making of the talismans or amulets or senseless actions or illusory pictures. Religion is neither by motions nor by sitting in silence if such actions are associated with paralyzing ideas, wrong principles, and shameless tasting of worldly pleasures. The way fulfilling one's religion, deen, or one's debt to Allah is lofty in its rules, proportionate pictures and direct tastings, dhaq, that are perfect, pure, and limitless. limitless. Gnosis is the loftiest knowledge, and it is the firmest, most truthful, and sincere way, and also the most powerful. So understand. Know that there is no sound intellect for one who has the capacity to intellectualize if he is not following the praiseworthy law, the Ashar al-Muhammadi, or the Muhammadan way. There is no wisdom for any pursuer of wisdom except for the one whose wisdom emanates from the lights of the divine courtesy which is my master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to us. There's no gnosis for a pursuer of gnosis except that which issues from the authentic statute of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and from his comprehension, his fiqh, in his direct tasting thought. The contribution of any intelligent person, philosopher, or wise person is limited and lacking as long as his person does not incline towards the religion of Allah and his philosophy, his wisdom, and his intelligence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Say, if the sea were ink for writing the words of my Lord, the sea would be exhausted before the words of my Lord were exhausted, even if we brought another sea like it in addition." Quran 18:109. Know then that after Allah takes the affairs from himself to himself, he actualizes them, which means he gives them their reality, for his reality is with him, but its reality is from him. And he designates the particular affairs for himself, to himself, and it logically follows that he is the one specified in these affairs. Otherwise, it would not be a reality, but it is through his specific designation into its created vessel for himself that his essence appears in it, and so it becomes a real actualized affair within a specific vessel, ayin, and has existence in and of itself. In this epiphany, this tajalli, into the created vessels, all affairs are constant realities that come into being out of the demand of his knowledgeable self that wants these affairs for himself. He discerns each of these affairs from himself within his self, and this is natural because each affair is different from every other and from the perspective of what he designates for it of himself. He is discerned by each of them from himself within his self. Let me give you an example to help you understand what I have just alluded to. Let us assume you invent something like an airplane. The meaning of inventing is that knowledge of some order appears in the comprehension of your imagination, and when its full manifestation becomes complete, it becomes an airplane. Know that the matter which appears in your imagination is an existence in itself, and as it is an existence, it has a self, and the inventor is the self, and because he is the self, he demands affairs to actualize on himself by abstracting rules from himself to himself. Each part of the invention within himself is he develops and distinguishes from the other parts and from himself. For examples, there are the wings and this is the body, etc. The levels start to develop and appear by the power of inner action until the airplane becomes complete with all its parts by the comprehension of the inventor. The parts and levels of development are the existences, and the inventor is its essence. And in reality, there is nothing but him within it. And if we destroy the airplane or erase it out of existence, the inventor is able to remake it thousands of times because he made it the first time. Similarly, in the example of the human being, there is nothing in existence except Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the self who demands of himself to rule, and so he rules by originating the universe and its affairs, and all of the contingent beings therein. And all existing things are Allah's in their absolute reality, and he actualizes them by giving them their reality, by designating a part of himself into each vessel, discerning himself from it. He designates for each vessel what suits himself and none else, and then he then disciplines and develops it into levels of existence. By all contingent beings he appears as the Absolute, and in each level of existence he appears in accordance with the vessel, and his name by the rule of what he designates for it by the name which he emanated upon it, while remaining in his self as he has always been. He can fold up all the affairs or spread them out as so he wills. He can make them constant, erase them from existence, assemble them into one, or separate them into many appearances, while he remains as he always has been within his self. With his qualities, actions, rules, names, and creations, there is none but Allah. Allah both originates the creation and then he brings it forth anew. Quran 10:34. Is he who created the heavens and the earth not able to create the like of them? Undoubtedly, and he alone is the all-knowing creator, the Al-Khalaqul Alim, for surely his command, which he intends anything, is to say to it, be, and it is. So glory to him in whose hand is the dominion over all things, and to him you shall be brought to back. You shall be brought back. Quran 36:81-83. Know then, my beloved, that there is none except Allah and your Lord. Moreover, know that he is the real existence and that the whole of existence is complete and perfect existence. Each of its levels is complete and perfect, and each of his words is complete and perfect. It is up to you then to discern between the authentic existence and the illusory existence. The authentic existence is that in which there is absolutely no lack at all from any of its directions. And on the other hand, the illusory existence is that which shows you a lack on one level, but a perfection and completion on another, or that which shows you a lack and perfection in parts of the same level. May we be guarded and secured from seeing the illusory existence. To witness the real existence, you must purify your senses, as I mentioned to you before, with passionate longing, al-ishq, for the real. Love is pure and noble, abstracted, passionate longing, emanating upon you to train and discipline you in the right way to refine your being. If the Beloved affirms you by his existence and erasing you from illusory existence, you will be purified, stripped of the illusions and the illusory existences. So then you will not see anything but Allah, the real authentic existence. So understand. In this way you will see the outer expressions of the real, his names and his ontological ranks of existence. You will witness his affairs, his epiphanies, his inspirations, and his presence, both in the whole thing and specifically. It is the presence of discerning, which is the presence that arranges the ranks. Then you will be actualized by the good manners of the laws and the statute, while remaining in the divine world with his people, the perfect Gnostics who are not veiled by the outer appearances and their different eyes. They are never veiled from the chief principle of its origin. All the qualities, names, and actions do not prevent them from witnessing the divine self, the essence, the adat, and realizing her. From this perspective, you can see the ontological order of the existence of the real, which is uncountable, and you cannot be completely acquainted with all of it. Know, O seeker in search of the real, that the real is with the spiritual leader of your guidance. Be truthful with your guide and be sincere, for he is the manifested purpose of the divine existence, and he is the outer expression of the most compassionate of all the compassionate ones in all of the existing creatures. But if you choose to follow your illusion, it will lead you to a guide who belongs to the people of the darkness, who are the possessors of the veil. And such a guide may veil you from the real by dense sciences and senseless laws, or he may take you into the depth of ignorance and immorality where your illusion will combine with his, and then you will think that confusion and straying is guidance, and separation is connection with unity and unity. And you may become a polytheist claiming faith but covering up the truth. Beware of those who have no ethics, to whom Allah does not speak and who do not develop, for they are the known illusion. And we ask Allah to forgive us and grant us well-being, security, and to overlook our shortcomings. For He is the all-hearing, As-Sami'a, who always, always responds with conformity. Alhamdulillah, that ends the 22nd reading on page 200. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.